Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. So how does this sound? Cranberry sage pork dumplings. Or this, roasted miso maple potatoes. Or how about this, ginger scallion lobster rolls. Those are just some of the dishes featured in a new cookbook released just this week called Double Awesome Chinese Food, Irresistible and Totally Achievable Recipes from Our Chinese American Kitchen. The authors are Margaret, Irene, and Andrew Lee. They are the sibling co-owners of the Mei Mei Group, which is a Boston-based restaurant, a food truck, and a catering company. And joining me now in the studio are two of the three siblings, Andrew and Irene. Great to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. I want to point out that Irene is also the head chef at Mei Mei, a 2018 James Beard finalist, and a food columnist for WBUR's Artery. So welcome to all of you, and thank you for coming in. And thank you for this book, and I want to ask you about it. The first sentence here is, let's start with the name Mei Mei. So let me start with you, Irene. Tell me about the name Mei Mei.
Well, Mei Mei means little sister in Mandarin Chinese, and so Andy was born first. He's our big brother, our Guga, and then Margaret was born second a year later, and for a while, because Andy couldn't pronounce the word Margaret, they just called her Mei. And so Mei Mei was sort of her nickname for a long time. Then 8 years later, I came along, and I sort of usurped the Mei Mei role, but the nickname stuck with her. When we were thinking about opening the food truck, we said to Andy, you know, we're happy to come back home and help you. You just have to name the business after us.
Nice. Well, I got to say, full disclosure, I'm a big fan of your restaurant, Mei Mei. Andrew, let me just get you to describe, what are you doing at Mei Mei? What's the food? How do you describe it?
So the food could be loosely interpreted as Chinese American. We like to characterize it as Chinese food with cheese. Often, you know, dairy is not a big part of traditional Chinese food, but it's something that we've incorporated in a lot of the dishes. And it's also really just our spin, our take on some classics, and adding the local ingredients as well. Whatever's available, we try to get those in the recipes.
So give me an example of that, Irene. Sort of Chinese-American with a local ingredient twist. I mean, talk about maybe one of your favorite recipes in this book.
Sure. Well, one of my favorite recipes is our cranberry sweet and sour pork. Cranberries, of course, classic to New England and Massachusetts. Not so common in Chinese cooking, but of course they have that great acidic punch, and that is perfect for a sweet and sour sauce, taking the place of some of the vinegar. And so that pork dish is like a really gorgeous version of what you might get for takeout from your corner Chinese restaurant.
So you have brought me, and I'm going to spare you and the listeners the sound of me slurping my way through this, but this is a fantastic dish that I have had, and it's your double awesome, right? So tell me about this. Why don't I get you, Andrew, to explain what the double awesome is? It's right in front of me. It's beautiful, but I want you to describe it.
Sure. So the double awesome is a grilled scallion pancake. We take two slow poached, then fried eggs, and put them in there with some house greens, local greens, house pesto, and some Cabot sharp cheddar cheese, and it's got the ooziness of the egg. You know, some brightness from the pesto and some of the sharpness from the cheese. We're very proud of this dish. It's our signature sandwich.
And don't forget the spicy ketchup.
Spicy ketchup. And you've cooked more than a couple of these along the way, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I did a rough calculation. I think I'm close to 50,000. I think that's a good good round number for me over the career.
So let me get a little background about your guys' family. What was it like? What were some of your favorite memories growing up around your family's kitchen, Irene? How did food, what role did food play in your home?
Well, I think the dinner table was really always the center of family life. Mom and Dad both worked full-time as doctors, and so for all of us, getting together around the table for dinner was sort of when we would all get to really check in from the day. And one of my favorite memories, and this is a tradition we do every year, is after Thanksgiving, when we've eaten the turkey, we take all the bones and put them in a big pot, and we add rice and water, and we make a turkey stock rice porridge. And that's one of the first recipes in the book, and probably one of my favorites because it's so comforting. It's a humble sort of home-style dish, but there are lots of ways to sort of dress it up. And when we've served it in the restaurant, we find that people from all backgrounds really respond to it.
Really nice. Now, I'm interested, too. I want to talk more about the food, and there's some great examples in this beautiful cookbook. But I'm just intrigued, the three of you being in business together, what's that like? I'm looking through this cookbook. There are wonderful pictures of you guys. It looks like you adore each other. You're at the table together all the time. You're having wonderful meals together. Is it really that easy? Are you always in love with each other all the time?
that's definitely not the case. You know, my sisters are very intelligent, very talented, but they came from a sort of a self-taught culinary background. My background was in corporate restaurants, so we didn't always agree on the right approach to things.
Oh, interesting. So give me an example of when you didn't agree.
It's hard for me to think of something specific right now, but just a lot of the, you know, the HR stuff, some of the marketing stuff, the way that we presented ourselves, you know, they had their own thoughts and way of dealing with things. So eventually I just decided that I wouldn't fight against it, and I capitulated. And that's kind of where we're at
Is
right
that
now.
Is that fair, Irene? He capitulated?
That
you guys,
about right.
You guys won? Yeah. That's great.
But, you know, I wouldn't have done it any other way.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Well, let's talk a little bit more about this food. There's a dish that's super intriguing. Red curry Frito pie. Yeah?
Yeah. So Frito pie is a sort of classic Tex-Mex and sometimes Midwestern dish. And basically, all you do is open up a bag of Fritos and pour some chili or some other delicious sort of stewy element over it, and maybe a little sour cream and cheese. And one of my earlier experiences with cooking was a friend who ran a Tex-Mex restaurant. So I fell in love with the format, and I'm so glad we included it in the book because it hopefully shows that we're not taking ourselves too seriously, right? Even though we're emphasizing, you know, sourcing and technique, sometimes you just want a bag of Fritos.
So what's the Chinese or the Chinese American twist on this, on the Frito pie?
So the Frito pie has a little bit more of a Thai style twist. We also think of our food as being sort of multicultural Asian in some ways, the Asian pantry. And so Thai curry paste is one of the things that we always make sure we have in the fridge. It can turn, you know, vegetables or starch into something really punchy and delicious. And so it's a coconut milk based curry, and then you can really put anything you have in it. It could be ground beef or sweet potatoes or any number of veggies. So it really is a flavor profile that goes well with everything.
So the subheading here is irresistible and totally achievable recipes. So talk a little bit about some general tips that make these recipes totally achievable for home cooks. And I'll come back to you, Andrew.
Sure. So, you know, one tip that I would certainly offer is the cookbook is actually designed to progress through some of the more approachable recipes, such as the sauces. They're very versatile. You can kind of put them on everything. And it gets you into the more complex proteins and more complicated dishes toward the end. So building up confidence as you go is something that we for me in particular is very very helpful.
Right. And Irene, what about some just really useful tips that will sort of help demystify, I guess, this kind of cooking for people who might not immediately feel they know what they're doing?
Well, I think that a lot of the tips that are valuable are ones that we sort of picked up from getting into professional cooking. And a lot of them are less about cooking, actually, and more about just organizing and feeling confident and prepared in the kitchen. And I think that labeling things, setting up all your mise en place before you start cooking, those are things that help build that confidence and make it so that once you get the heat on under the pan, you know exactly what to do, and it all kind of flows from there. And of course, the first recipe in the book is just for white rice. And so we're sort of saying, you know, you can do this too. And I think that we also still think of ourselves as home cooks in many ways. And so making this something that made sense for a home kitchen, it doesn't require tons of fancy equipment or expensive ingredients, that was really important to us.
So interesting that you included a recipe for something as simple as white rice. So that sort of leads me to this question. What's the biggest sort of basic misunderstanding that people might have about this kind of food? This kind of food being Chinese American, Pan Asian, whatever, you know, however broadly you want to define it.
That's a great question. I think for me, one thing that I sometimes take issue with is the phrase Asian fusion, because what we cook, and the way this book came together was much more organic and much less about fusion or, you know, something you would do in a lab. And it was really just about growing up Chinese and American in Boston. And so many of these recipes are not things that we thought down and sat down and thought about and said, you know, how can we make something that's both Chinese and American? It's just kind of what happened.
Yeah. It was just the food that was there in your home, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. So who was the cook, Andrew, when you were kids? Was it your mom? Was it your dad? Was it both of them?
That's a great question. Our parents both had medical backgrounds. So we kind of like to say that the restaurant industry bug skipped a generation with our folks and then hit us pretty hard. So we had various au pairs and nannies that lived with us, and they would do the cooking. Actually, incidentally, my favorite early childhood memory of cooking in the house was Wednesday night, which was always Prince Spaghetti Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So being a kid, that was what I looked forward to.
That was a theme in my house only because my name was Anthony, right? Uh-huh. So, you know, that was I was always teased about Prince Spaghetti Day for that reason. What about dumplings? Dumplings seem to be this sort of central thing in so many kind of Asian families. Did they feature in a big way, Irene?
Dumplings are a big part of this cookbook and definitely a big part of what our restaurant is all about. One of the reasons we love dumplings is because, as you say, they're multicultural. Every culture, whether it's Polish or Nepalese, has a version of some delicious thing wrapped in delicious starch. And so that was one of the ways that we sort of wanted to show our multicultural approach to food through a Chinese lens. Hmm. So in the book, we have a bunch of sort of non-traditional recipes for dumplings. We have some step-by-steps about how to make dumpling wrappers or where to buy them if you prefer to buy them. And I think that everyone can get excited about dumplings. And that's one of the things that is so great about teaching the classes we do and then having the menu items and the specials that we get to run.
Well, the book is Double Awesome Chinese Food, Irresistible and Totally Achievable Recipes from Our Chinese American Kitchen. The authors are Andrew, Irene, and Margaret Lee. And we've been talking to Andrew and Irene Lee. They're sibling co-owners of the May May Group, a Boston-based restaurant, food truck, and catering company. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in.
Thank you.
A pleasure. Thank
and
you.
Thank you for bringing me the double awesome. I can't wait to tear into that as soon as we get off the air.